time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 555. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, and we're basically just taking turns switching sides on the East Coast. Last week, I was in Philadelphia, and you were home in Las Vegas. Right now, I am back home in beautiful Sin City, and you have made your way to the East Coast, more specifically New York, for UFC 322. Cole Coffee, just before we start recording, I hear a little bass in the voice, a little mellowy tones this morning, man.
We even swapped voices. I even got a little bit more of that Morgan gravel in my voice.
Sounds like New York's treating you good.
New York is treating me good. I had some good food last night. We had some adult beverages in large quantities last night. But yeah, I think just the travel and then the cold, and then I think probably going a little bit hard with some of the whiskey last night. My voice is I'm feeling it. But dude, it's I know you have mixed emotions. I know you like New York, you like the big events, but I know you're not big for like the Manhattan area. I know you've always been like, it's a little crazy, but there is something about this city, man, that is just it's so cool, man. It is so cool. And I haven't went to the Times Square. I went by it. You know, there'll be time for that, you know. But when you get out and around like today, or what we ended up going last night was a little bit further down than I've ever really been in this area. And it's really cool, man. Once you get past all the crazy cars and the crazy traffic, and then you start feeling like the neighborhood feel, then it just becomes cooler, because everywhere you look, there's like really good restaurants, good food, and just the people. Nobody really cares about like what you're doing, what your business. You could just I love about this town is you could just disappear. You know, like if you're in a small town, you walk down the street, everybody in the restaurant's looking out the window, everybody's watching you, everybody's looking at you or whatever, and which is fine, you know. But here, man, you could put you see everybody put their little earplugs in and their headphones, and then they just walk, and everybody just minds the business and just walks and does their thing, you know. There's something about that I just think is so cool. But yeah, I'm glad to be up here. The weather, it's getting a little bit colder. Starting to get there, starting to feel like everywhere else. It's funny, we're so spoiled in Las Vegas, because the other day I looked at a picture of somebody back home, and there was snow on the ground, and I was like, No, I don't want that. I don't even want to see that. And here it's starting to get a little bit colder. So you start to again, why we appreciate Las Vegas this time of the year, because it's just nice. But no, it's great. And I'm excited to be here, man. The fighters are excited to be here, man. It's a good start to the fight week for sure.
No doubt.
Or I guess middle of the fight week now.
Middle of the fight week at this point. Yeah, we'll definitely get into UFC 322. Big event, no question about it. Perhaps the biggest of the year. Great, great card. And you're right, man. With New York, the energy is undeniable. As much, I think for me, well, number one, I'm not a cold weather guy. So if it is cold, that really kind of heightens my not loving it. But when the weather's nice, it's just kind of hard to get around in the traffic and that stuff. The energy in that city is pretty undeniable. So good for you that you're getting to experience. I'll come out right now and just say I was supposed to be there. I was going to be leaving tonight. Taking a red eye, and I was going to be there and join you. We had talked about maybe even doing the show on Friday so we could do it in person.
Yep.
Soak in that energy together, and maybe have a couple frosty beverages and what have you.
At least a couple.
Even at those expensive New York prices, we would still be. We would make the sacrifice for the good of the show and have a couple. But I did make a decision last second to call off the trip and stay home. So I'm a little bummed about it. Number one, there's so many CFFC ties on the card that I'm really, really excited about seeing. There's four former champions that are on the card, which I'm excited to see. And it's just Madison Square Garden is super, super cool. But here was my rationale: is number one, the FAA stuff going on. Honestly, that was probably more to do than anything. It was the FAA stuff going on because, and only because, twofold. Number one, my mom is coming to town on Sunday, and I probably only see her once or twice a year, to be honest with you. She's only going to be here. She's coming in on Sunday. She's leaving on Wednesday. So she's only going to be here for a couple days. We've actually got tickets to go see Monday Night Football on Monday. We're going to go see the Cowboys That's and the cool. Raiders, which should be, yeah, should be a lot of fun. It's my son's first NFL game. You know, and it's Monday Night Football, and it's, you know, my city where I'm from, the Dallas Cowboys, the city where I live now for the past damn near 20 years, Las Vegas. So it's kind of a fun little flavor to the game, you know what I mean? So, but with all the FAA stuff going on, I was a little bit nervous that, man, if I get delayed or flights canceled or whatever coming home, twofold. Number one, if I miss a day, obviously my mom's not here very long, and so that's going to be a whole waste of a day when she's only got like three here. If I miss 2 days, I paid a lot of money for those tickets to go to the football game. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't want to miss that. That would be and stranded in Manhattan for an extra day when you're not on a corporate credit card gets awfully expensive coming out of your pocket when you're looking at, you know, $350 a night for a hotel and then your $100 Uber to the airport and back and obviously the cost of everything. So I said, you know what, man. Make the mature decision, John Morgan. Make the mature decision and call off the trip. So I called off the trip, and it's one of those like, I feel like the adult John Morgan made the responsible decision. Like, you know what, man? Yeah. It's just a UFC event. There'll be more UFC events. There'll be more UFC events in Madison Square Garden. There'll be, you know what I mean? It's going to happen every year. You can go this just the calendar didn't align for you right now, and it's more important to be safe and responsible. And I felt as I was clicking cancel, I felt like I was doing the right thing, like the mature thing, but it still stung just a little bit inside to be like, God damn it. And I know on Saturday night, as I sit there and I watch the energy of that building, as I think about all the energy that you're enjoying in the press room back, you know what I mean? As I think about that feel that you in the bowels of Madison Square Garden,
it just hits different.
I'll feel bad about it, but then, you know, when my mom gets here on Sunday and we're getting to hang out and have a little family time, I'll know I made the right call. So, anyway,
all that being said,
I won't be there.
Yeah, you made the right decision. You made the right decision.
How was the FAA, by the way? Did you have any issues getting in?
Dude, it wasn't so bad. Of course, I got there extra early because I was trying to do that, but also for this particular time, I did the media check-in. So Southwest, which broke my heart and decided to start charging for bags. That's why I was a long time, you know, trying to do the Southwest as much as possible for those two free bags.
Yep.
So next year and going forward, I mean, it's all going to be cost related. So, you know, regardless of that. So I was like, I'm going to go and do a media check-in because how it currently is the first two bags are roughly about $100. But the third bag on Southwest is typically $150.
Wow.
But if you are going for media, they do an allowance, and it's actually $75 for the third bag. So I was like, okay, let me just go early, get there, because if there's a line of people, I don't have to wait to go, because you have to go to the desk. You can't do it in the little kiosk or anything. So
somebody's got to, like, verify it or something.
Yeah, you know, so I had to make sure I got there early. And when I got there, it was so darn early. There was nobody in line because I thought that they opened up 2 hours before the flight. But that must have been an earlier flight because I thought 4 was when they're open up. They opened up at 3 a.m. So by the time I walked up at like 3:45 in the morning, something like that, there was nobody there. And so she verified my, you know, media ID. I put my media ID. I put my business card. And I was like, I don't know what else I need. And she's like, okay, boom, boom, boom. And then we started talking about production stuff because her son goes and wants to do production stuff. Or he's already sort of doing it. Long story short, we end up shooting the bull. And I going upstairs to go to my TSA after she gave me my baggage stuff, you know, chatting, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, man, she never charged me for the third bag. I was like, how cool was that? I was like, man, she just saved us like $75.
Yep.
That's incredible. So I go through the thing. I'm like, now I got like an hour and a half I have to waste, you know, because I got there so darn early. And then when I sit down, and, you know, like an hour had passed, and I was like, wait a second. She didn't charge me for the first bags either.
Oh.
So literally saved like probably, you know, worst case, if I would have paid for both bags and then paid 150, that would have been, you know, roughly $250. But instead of the discounted, you know, 150, 175, whatever, I didn't have to pay a thing.
Look at that.
For my baggage.
That cold charm. That cold coffee charm. Just getting it done. My man will chat up anybody, anywhere, at any time.
Anybody, anywhere. But, you know, I think because I went early, I feel like if there was a crazy bunch of people and then it was more of a to-do, I feel like I probably wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Right.
And I think it was just the perfect person that her son happened to be interested in production. Here's a news media guy that's doing camera stuff. So I think in her brain, she was like, oh, let me just use this time. But, yeah, any other thing, if it was busier, I probably would have got charged. I know I'm going to get charged on the way back, but I have to do the same darn thing. I'm going to try to do the media check-in. But I, for a second, I was like, maybe it's just free for media. But I'm going to get there. I'm like, hey, do you have a son that does production work? Let's talk.
That's not creepy at all.
That's not That being said, I think because I was there so early, there was absolutely nobody in line. But there was something that, so I get up to TSA pre-check, which I luckily had pre-check go through it. There was absolutely nobody in line, so I was like the second dude to go through. But they were gathering all the TSA folks, so I think it was at the beginning of the shift, but there was like 20 of them, and I was like,
right.
clearly no staffing issue. Like, there was looked like there was plenty enough TSA agents to work all the gate things. So it wasn't so bad. Got to us was there was weather issues in New York that were causing travel, the planes to be a little bit delayed. But there were, so I think some of the delays were more for weather pushing back, but there were some places that you could see that did get a mandatory reduction. And that's right. Kind of what it was. Like, they were supposed to do 12% or like 8% or something cuts of their flights, which sounds like a decent amount of number, but it didn't affect like every airport didn't have, you know, do
right.
it. So it wasn't like it was like this massive, like TSA is shut down across the US. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so bad, but I would still tell everybody, even though that now that they voted to open it up, there is still reduction of flights. I think 6% is what I think I saw something like they lowered it again. So I would still err on the side of getting early, but I wouldn't say it's completely back to normal, but it's probably smart to still err on the side of caution and give yourself some extra time. But I don't think it's going to be so bad for most people, but it wasn't too bad. But
that's
yeah,
good.
I had plenty of
that's
time
good.
to go early and have a couple drinks before I flew out.
And
then I got
go.
Stuck in,
hey.
Well, the, and then hey. I got delayed in Dallas, and then I ended up having a couple drinks in Dallas. A little whiskey and soda was doing pretty good.
Nothing like a good, like, 6 a.m. airport frosty beverage, you know what I mean? Like, time does not apply when you are in the skies, you know what I mean?
It's travel day, even though it's like your day off, but it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to get to the airport at 4 in the morning, I'm going to land. When I was planned to land was 5 p.m. Eastern. I didn't get here until like almost 8 p.m. And that's my day off. So your boy is going to day drink on his day off. I ain't flying the plane. So, yeah, so it was all good.
Well, you know,
I will tell you, I did hear of a media member, and I won't say names. I did hear of a media member that blacked out on their flight because they started drinking early. And rumor is somebody seated behind him heard the stewardess tell somebody that he's had 12 whiskeys since being on the plane. And since John Morgan wasn't there, I wonder who it could be. So somebody I won't name names, but somebody might have blacked out on the plane coming here. So somebody went harder than I did, much harder on their flight out. Yeah,
wow,
epic stuff.
I love it.
You're getting that FOMO now, right? You're getting that FOMO. You're getting
now.
Now
I'm like, man, I should be there. They're already filling my spot. They're already filling my role. By the way, so hey, here's a question. Did you weigh the option of putting all of your day drinking charges on your corporate card, considering that you had saved quite a bit of money in the luggage department? You know what I mean? That's a trade right there. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't think about that.
I
should have.
When the accountant says, cold coffee, Mr. Coffee, I see here that there is a $150 worth of alcohol charges in the Las Vegas airport and another $150 worth of charges in the Dallas airport. In one day, you've charged $300 worth of alcohol to your corporate card, Mr. Coffee. How can you justify such charges? And then you can just hit back and be like, but what was my luggage fee, huh?
That's it. I just transferred to luggage. It's funny. They'd be like, I see your understanding, sir. I see your reasoning. You could have just not spent the money that you were going to get saved. I'd be like, could I have? I don't know.
It was already. It was already earmarked. It was already in the budget. We had to spend it.
When you put it like that, yeah, now I feel stupid. But yeah, no, I would never try to do that. Because as much as I like my boss, I don't know how I could explain that one and not get that. Be like, yeah, you're going to have to pay that one back. Yeah.
Like, sir, your corporate card is no longer functioning. It has been closed.
Boy, at this point. Can you send this back into the office? Or just cut it up right now. It's now closed.
So does Oscar remember getting to his hotel after blacking out in the plane?
Oh, did I say this?
I'm sorry. Did unnamed media member that we're
unnamed
not sure
Unnamed media
of,
guy.
Do they remember getting their
unnamed
hotel?
Unnamed media guy still went out last night, and we didn't think unnamed media guy was going to show up to media day. He rolls in like 10 minutes before the first one, looking rough as all get out. But he made it. He made it to media day. But he was able to remember good bits of it. I don't think, because unless I misheard what he was saying, I thought he said a certain PR person helped him get off the plane because he was that bad. Bro.
Hey.
Bro.
Good on it. Good on him to get 12 whiskeys on a plane, man. I feel like at some point,
I thought that too. Well, yeah. He had to been doubling up. I think he probably did 6 doubles, like, give me 2.
Yeah.
And got them to come 6 times as opposed to.
But not that I still don't enjoy a good frosty beverage. I do, of course. We know this. But there were times, especially during my MMA junkie career, especially when I was Mr. Morgan on American Airlines flying 200,000 miles a year, you know what I mean, where they treated me with some respect. They put me in first class quite a bit. I would go pretty hard on the plane. But, I'm sure you've been there where, like, you know, they're walking down the aisle, but you can tell they're trying not to make eye contact with you. You know what I mean? Because you know the feeling. I know you know the feeling that they're like, look, you know, as they get near you, they kind of look to the other side to see if that person has to try.
Their cheek just gets red because you can see your eyes just burning a hole in the side of their face.
I mean, you can tell, like, they don't want to go get me another whiskey. I don't know. So, no. I mean, good on unsaid media member to be willing to just be like, ding! Come get me 2 more whiskeys, please.
And he had a direct flight, so roughly roughly 4 and a half hours, depending on how the wind is or something like that. You know, so you figure if anything, 3. You try to do the math. Like, I wonder if he front loaded it or if he just like was able to kind of get it. I met by the end there, like, sir, we're going to land. And he's like, I can get 2 more, you know. But it's funny because I think the flight attendants, I don't think we're supposed to call them stewardesses anymore.
Bro, what are you, from like 1970? Stewardesses. Who uses that? Yeah,
stewards? Some people still say that.
Do they? I feel like I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Well, it's because once they started seeing male flight attendants, people, I think, were like, okay, we can't say it. But then it's like, if that's what they were called when you were growing up, it's hard to like just say all of a sudden, you know, now they're flight attendants,
right,
you know, or whatever.
Right.
Attend on these nuts, bitches. I don't know where that came from.
Oh, lovely. Like the inner 12-year-old and you just came out. That's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing.
But, I forget what I was talking about now. I'm sure they were. But, you know, Oscar's got to wait. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they look.
Unsaid media member. Unnamed media member.
Oh, yeah. unnamed media member. I'm sure, you know, was like, hey, gave him a little sly, little, you know, smile. And he maybe had an accent, if this unnamed media member has an accent. And I'm sure they were like, oh, he's so endearing.
From the Midwest or whatever that accent is. Yeah. Maybe here's I figured it out. Here's the move is when you get the flight attendant's attention, maybe you even go get up and go find her before she's about to serve it. And you say, listen, I'm traveling with my buddies on my row, And they'll all argue about who's going to pay for the round. So let me get three doubles right now, and I'll pay for it. And you can just give them all. That way it stops the argument. Nobody has to fight over the credit card. So I'm going to buy my buddies on my row. We're all flying. Even though it's all complete strangers. Even though you sit next to people you never seen before in your life. And you just say that you're buying a round for you and your buddies. Right. And you get like six whiskeys at a time. I think that's the move. That's the play right there.
That's pretty baller. Just and when you just come over, just set them all right on my middle
chair.
Let me divvy it out to just, them. You know, like I'll take care of it.
I don't want you to have to reach all the way over to the window seat. Yeah. You just put it right here.
I was thinking about that. I was like, depending on where he's sitting, if his row mates had to be like, oh, bro, like she's reaching over me again to give him a couple more whiskeys, like, oh, it's happening again. Like, oh, it's happening again. Oh, it's happening again. Like, bro.
Oh,
who knows?
Man. But too funny. Too
good
funny.
Good times. Good time. But yes, people are embracing being in New York and on the road for this wonderful fight card.
That's great.
It is a fun fight card, but yeah.
It is. All right. Yeah. We'll break down UFC 322 real quick. Just want to give a quick shout out, if I could. Last week, CFFC 148 was in Philadelphia. Dean Thomas is working with me. Always a pleasure to work with Dean Thomas. Like I said, man, I'm blessed, man. I get to work with Dean Thomas. I get to work with Michael Chiesa. I get to work with Michelle Waterson. And that's only when CM Punk, the champ of the world, isn't able to be there. All of them are amazing to work with.
Is that going to happen anytime soon? Are you guys getting them anytime soon?
I don't know. It's kind of like, I mean, we stay in touch, obviously. And Punk, I mean, Punk checks in to he still watches CFFC events. He still watches, obviously, UFC events. And, you know, we touch base every now and then, just check in. Send a little joke, or you know, see a Punk highlight or whatever, and you know, just touch base. Yep. But basically, you know, he says, "Look, man, it's a case by case basis right now, man. He's so busy, and they're kind of, you know, changing his schedule, but hopefully, well,
especially
soon,
now
man.
As the champ,
especially as the champ,
it's even ramped up now because now even if he's not fighting, they might want to just throw him into a show.
That's it, or you
somewhere
gotta,
just to make an appearance.
You got to keep the story going, you know. So you come in and you do a quick microphone appearance, even if you're not competing or whatever. So it's tough, but sooner or later. I mean, I know obviously he can't. I don't want to say he can't wrestle forever. Hopefully he has many. Hopefully he has a decade ahead of him. But he'll tell you like, bro, this shit's not easy on your body. You know what I mean? So we miss him, but we stay in touch. So hopefully we'll get him sometime soon. We don't have anything on the books. But so obviously the replay on UFC Fight Pass, if you want to check that out, we had some great performances. Ito Babalaidze had a great win, and he called out, you know, he wants to be in the UFC. Larry Gonzalez came in and beat Anthony Garcia. Anthony Garcia looked amazing in the opening round, man. He was sticking and moving and combinations, but Larry Gonzalez just kind of bided his time and waited, and then cooked him in the second.
Big
dude, man, like a 25-pound weight discrepancy.
I think he's got speed, and I think he's got a lot of talent, but, man, he's just not as big as some of these other heavyweights.
I know.
He's kind of a little undersized.
And I feel like he's stuck because he's not as big as the biggest guys, but I don't know that his frame is built for 205 either. You know what I mean?
He's too big. I don't know if he could get down.
I don't think he could either. So he's in a tough spot. But Larry Gonzalez took on the title. So shout out that on Fight Pass. But also I wanted to point out the YouTube channel as well. CFFC YouTube channel. If you haven't checked it out, please go like it, subscribe it, watch some videos. But a couple things that I wanted to point out. So we put the prelims on the YouTube channel for anybody that hasn't seen it. We stream them live on OnlyFans. And then we post it as quickly as possible, usually within like the next 48 to 72 hours tops. We put them on YouTube so you can go check out replays there. But a couple ones I wanted to point out that are definitely worth your time. First of all, we start out the night with Kasan Young. Kasan Young is 18 years old, fighting amateur. And it dawned on me after, this is a Friday night fight. So like, can you imagine you're 18 years old and like you go to school during the day, like you just, you know, roll into high school and do your thing, knowing like that night I've got a cage fight that I'm going to be in. I just can't imagine the energy and the mindset that you got to have to just go through like a normal everyday day knowing that you're going to fight that night. And he looked fantastic. So at 18 years old, man, I think he's somebody that's worth watching. Definitely worth checking it out to see somebody that young doing it. There's an absolute war. Nodir Alidodov versus Israel Gonzalez. Check this out. It is an absolute battle of a fight. It goes back and forth. I won't ruin the ending for you, but it is, I mean, two dudes that are just cut up. blood-soaked, trading in the pot. It's like what you want as a fight fan. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, every now, of course, we love great technique and we love great grappling and we love all that. But sometimes you just love two tough-ass mofos just throwing down, and you got that. So check that out. And then also, I want to put a name on people's radar. James Lito. This kid, James Lito, trains under Bill Algeo. He's a two-division champion, right? This is actually pretty interesting because in New Jersey, the next gen, the amateur fights, they use different weight class systems. It's basically boxing weight class system, but the idea being that there's way more weight classes so that guys don't cut as much weight early in their career. It might change at some point because the thing is the divisions don't line up exactly, and so you're kind of like if you're getting guys ready for the pro ranks, but they're fighting in divisions they're not going to be in, it's kind of weird, right? But James Lito is taking advantage of this because he won a title in New Jersey at 175, and then he came to Philadelphia to fight for another title, but we're not going to do 175, we're going to do traditional, so 170. So he ends up winning, so he's a two-division champion, but it's at 170 and 175, and actually he wants to challenge for another title at 168 as well in one of our upcoming New Jersey shows. So it'll be a three-division champion, but it's only 7 pounds apart. Wow. So kind of a funny thing, but this kid, not only is he super talented, he's incredible on the mic. Like, even if you don't want to watch the fight, just go pull up the video, James Lito versus Trey Frazier, and just watch the interview. This dude, and I know, you know, fighting is about the fighting, but we know it's about the entertainment side of it. Well, this dude as an amateur is already, like, professional level on the mic. And the great thing is he's trying to fight, like, the best dudes in the country. Like, he won this fight. He won a decision, won all three rounds. But it was this kid named Trey Frazier who was 8-0 coming in. Who was ranked, like, number three in the nation according to the Tapology. We brought him in from Arkansas because James Lito basically looks at the Tapology rankings at welterweight and is calling out the absolute best. And he's like, he doesn't want just fights. He's like, bring me the toughest fights you can find. I want the best opponents. And he means it. You know what I mean? He's not just saying that. He's like, whoever you got, bring him to me. So anyway, I just want to put it, he's only an amateur, but it's amazing. I think he's 7-1 now is his record. Again, two championships, even though it's only 5 pounds apart, still good, but amazing on the mic. And I think he's gonna have a great career. So anyway, wanted to throw that out there for you.
There's your CFFC update. Well, speaking of, since you mentioned the four, who are the four? I know Sean Brady. Who are the other ones that were
Sean
CFFC
Brady
guys?
Kyle Daukaus, oh, Pat Daukaus, Sabatini, and Fatima Klein. And unless they haven't changed it, as we get into UFC 322, if they haven't changed it, the last time I saw, they were all fighting, not all except Brady. Obviously, Brady's up there at the top on the main card, but it's the early prelim. So, and as I look at UFC.com right now, it is still listed that way. So it starts out with Vyacheslav Borshev versus Mateus Camilo, that late addition to the card. Then you go to Bisanger Sirsakayev versus Eric McConico. And then after that, it's CFFC right in a row. Fatima Klein versus Angela Hill, Pat Sabatini versus Chepe Mariscal, and Kyle Daukaus versus Gerald Meerschaert wrapping up the early prelims. So, three of our former champs right in a row, and then obviously Sean Brady up there in that featured fight just below the two title fights. So, yeah, pretty wild.
Good stuff. Yep. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm loving it. All right, listen.
Good representation, that's for sure.
I love it. Love to see it. All right, so I did get a chance to check out Media Day. Jack Della Maddalena, Islam Makhachev both came and spoke. Obviously, you guys had you guys got to speak to a large portion of the card. I believe, what, 18 interviews total?
Bro. When we saw the list, we're like, come on. Like, we guesstimated. Like, so the week prior at the Apex when I sat there, unnamed media person comes up and he says, so I got an idea. So we're going to have some people at Media Day. I was like, oh, bro. He's like, well, when you look at the card, I mean, it's just hard to not have everybody. You know, there's so many names. But we'll keep it. We'll keep them short. And I was like, what are we talking? 14? 16? He's like, you know, something along those lines. I was like, bro, you're going to try to bring like 18 motherfuckers to this thing. I was like, come on. And he's like, well, we're working it out, but just let you know it's going to be a decent size media day. And then when we saw the PR schedule come out, I was just like, bro, are you serious? Who's left on the card that's not here?
At that point, just bring everybody, right? At that point, just bring the rest of them.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
So they, to be fair, they're outside of Michael Morales, where there was a pretty decent size media contingent that were there for him. So that kid is, he's you know, that should be a banger of a fight. Oh, but, man, that kid is getting a lot of attention from international media that are making the travel to come see him. But outside of that, for the most part, the media kept it pretty short. I mean, we didn't keep a lot of them to the 15 minutes that it was supposed to be.
Right.
Some went under, but I think we went over by maybe about 45 minutes, 30 or 45 minutes. But when we saw that list, I was like, dude, we're going to be here till like 5 or 6 in the evening. You know, like there's no way we're going to stay on topic and get done, because the last person was supposed to get there around 4-ish or so. We got in the room at 11:30.
Right.
I got in there even a little bit earlier than that one. Well, that's when it started, was 11:30. So roughly they were letting us in room at 10:30. I think I was in there at like 10. You know, I weaseled my way in early.
Let's go.
So to think that they had it scheduled that we would be in there for like 6 hours, and then it still went a little bit over. I was like, bro, that's a full work day that we sat in this room talking to all these people. But it was fun. But they kept it, you know, the fact that we only ran over by like 45 minutes. We've been there when they've had 6 people, and it's went like 2 or 3 hours.
Nah, they kept it moving.
Media
did a good job keeping it moving too, so it was nice. Yeah. I feel like we got a nice cross section of the car without it being overkill. And you're right, man. I mean, listen, when you're talking about, I mean, like, where do you cut it off, right? I mean, obviously you're doing your main card. It's pay-per-view. So your main card's a given, right? So then you go to your featured prelim, Bo Nickel, Rodolfo Vieira. I mean, you got to have that there, right? I mean, you got to. Roman Kopylov versus Gregory Rodriguez. Okay, maybe you can make the argument that, all right, you got two, you know, not ranked guys at middleweight, veterans of the game, though. You know, maybe make that. But then, so that means what? Aaron Blanchfield and Tracy Cortez, like two top 10 that, like, you're not going to include them. And then if you're going to include them, I mean, you got to include Malcolm Wellmaker and Cody Haddon, right? Two guys that look like they're bright prospects. So I get it.
And that's their whole thing. It's like they got, for them, you know, Wellmaker's really, you know, the iron's hot right now. Like,
definitely.
The kid's, you know, he says all the right things. He's got a fight, exciting fight style. But their whole thing is like, we can't just bring Malcolm and not bring his opponent.
Right. And by the way, I highly respect that. I do believe that's the way to do it. Because, look, we've covered a lot of organizations.
They haven't always done it like that.
Well, no, and I know Strikeforce, for instance, you know, I mean, obviously, no disrespect to anybody that was running the organization, but they would do that. If they'd have one guy that they knew they were featuring, they'd bring just that one guy. And to me, I always kind of found that as disrespectful. Like, how does the opponent not feel like, oh,
yeah,
I see what's happening here. Like, I'm just the guy that's brought in to lose, and I don't even get the shine of being at the media day. Like, so I applaud them for doing that.
Yeah. So it just makes for a longer day. But it was fine. And then, you know, just in that particular instance, like, the Cody Haddon interview was good. Like, you know, for a lot of people that don't know him, it was just interesting to hear his story as well. So, you know, it was good. But, yeah, how do you skip over Rodriguez and then bring, you know, Cortez and Blanchard, which of course you want to bring them, you know, to the media day, because they're going to get views, you know. It's a fun fight, but yeah, you can't really skip over some guys, because then they're gonna be like, well, we're higher up on the card. Why are you going to skip over us?
Why are you doing that?
And those guys are good, but yeah, like, do we need another interview with Kopylov and Rodriguez? Probably not, but they're good guys.
They're good dudes.
It's fine to talk
about. And that'll be a fun fight. Stylistically, it'll be a fun fight. Yeah, I thought Cody Haddon was really good. I do feel like Malcolm Wellmaker just has, like, star quality all over him, both in fighting style and just his presence and his speaking on the mic. He's great. The other one, and by the way, Bo Nickel. First of all, this Bo Nickel Rodolfo Vieira fight, I'm very excited about this fight. I love the stylistic matchmaking of this because I think they're going to be – I mean – you want to see Bo Nickel grapple, and I feel like this is one where he's going to be forced to grapple. Maybe he'll try to keep it standing. I don't know. But Bo Nickel is such a well-spoken, polite, respectful dude. Like, I don't understand the hate of Bo Nickel. I mean, I don't know.
You guys get a lot of hate.
It's weird, right? And I guess, I don't know. People just maybe people felt like he was getting more attention than he deserved, or he was getting more hype than he deserved, or whatever. I don't know. I don't get. But I thought that was the whole point of the sport, is to bring as much attention upon yourself to get people interested in watching you fight, et cetera, et cetera. But I just – when I hear him speak and when I hear him talk about you know, dealing with the frustrations, the support that he has, his love for his family, his faith, his every. I do not get Bo Nickel hate at all. Like, if there was a dude that you would want, like, representing your company or to bring on as, like, a spokesman for your organization, like, it would be that guy. So I don't know, man. It's weird to me. I don't know if you felt that as well, but I just, when he's up there speaking, I'm just like, that is a polished, respectful dude.
Yeah, I mean, and I've always thought that since he's came. I mean, but this is a guy that went through, you know, Penn State. You know, he got a lot of reps speaking to people, you know, through his collegiate career and everything. So, I mean, he was always very well polished. And I don't know if it's just maybe, you know, maybe because he has this aura of, like, a very conservative, like, aura to him. And I don't know if some people just by default have these connotations of, you know, the political sphere, how a lot of conservatives are kind of, like, making life rougher for a lot of people. So maybe he's getting some backlash because of that. But I do agree that he came in so hyped up that I think there is this part of people that, you know, can immediately want to just push back against that. But we see people get hyped up all the time and you don't get it all the time. You don't get that pushback.
Yeah.
You know, because when they show up and they do what they did, and he did. I mean, he had like one little setback, but the dude's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so the only thing I could think of is that by being this very, you know, polished, conservative, faithful dude, some people just doesn't resonate with him. And so they choose to, you know, discredit him or just not like the dude. But, you know, what's cool is that even when he hears that sort of stuff, he just takes it on his shoulder and he deals with it without rage and whatever and just kind of like says his business, you know. Yep. So, no, I mean, I like the kid. He does good stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he's another one that he's just great on the mic. I mean, you might not resonate with everything he says, but he's about as polished as it gets when it gets on the microphone. I mean, like, you know, you could tell that the kid's been doing reps, and I have to point that back to, I think, what starts at college and maybe even when he was wrestling before, all that stuff. You know, like, he's just there's something about those reps, man. The kid's been, you know, he got set up in a really good position to do this right. I mean, like we've said so many times, people come in there and they start doing these interviews. We watch them grow on the mic as their career, you know, progresses. This kid came in already ready to go, you know, and maybe that's just people are just like, I can't understand this dude, you know, but yeah, this is a tough fight. This is tough fight. I did pick him on this one, and I'm still unsure. You know, because we've seen, you know, when you get in there with a really, really good grappler, sometimes it does cancel that really, really incredible wrestling,
I look forward to seeing it. All right, let's jump into the title fight. So, Jack Della Maddalena versus Islam Makhachev. It's funny because, you know, in the weeks leading up to this fight, you know, everybody starts talking about it. And I feel like damn near every fighter that I spoke to, is picking Jack Della Maddalena. Like I feel like it's an overwhelming majority are like, hey, I think people are writing off Jack Della Maddalena. Like, dude, like this dude's striking, his ability to get out of bad spots. You know, he's going to get taken down, but he won't get held down. You know, he's the naturally bigger guy. Like, you know, they're all leaning that way. And I do think this is a better fight than maybe some people thought when it was first announced. I feel like a lot of people, the general fan base was like, ah, oh, why are we even doing this fight? Like, Islam's gonna wear him out. Now, I will say, Islam is not, he will not be undersized. I mean, we've seen the face-offs already, right? It doesn't look like a dude that's in the wrong weight class, right?
Nope.
And I will say at the media day, obviously Islam is always, I mean, Islam is not a loud, boisterous, like, overly energetic guy, but he did have, I thought, more energy. And I mean, it's clear that not having to cut as much weight as he used to was better for him. Like, he had more energy. Yep. I love his sense of humor. Obviously, it's very Habib-like, but his sense of humor. The one that got me the most was somebody asked him, like, hey, Jack Della Maddalena did an interview where he said, like, he thinks he's actually the better, like, more well-rounded fighter and that he's going to take your pound-for-pound status. And Islam just kind of – he gives that smile and he's like – nobody believed this, brother. And I was just crying. You know? I mean, it just stuff like that was hilarious.
Yeah, we were literally talking about his sense of humor and the way he sort of just phrases some things is like on the sly. Like, Oscar brought up Craig Jones, his best friend, lover. as he would do. And he was like, so what do you, you know, Craig Jones was talking about this, or he was training with him or whatever. Do you think he's like a legit coach or, you know, whatever, whatever. And he's like, do you think of him as an actual like coach? And he's like, oh no, he's a coach. He did very well when he trained
Volkanovski.
And I was just like, oh shit,
that was like, so good.
It was so sly, dude. And that's why I you know, I tell people like he doesn't, you know, he's not out there just talking mad boisterous shit, but the stuff that he does come out with,
it's great.
It's just low key killer, man.
So good.
Like, it's just incredible.
So good. I really enjoyed it.
I literally started chuckling. I was like, oh, shit.
In my chair,
I was like, dude, that was good.
Just those little subtle trash talk. It's so good, man. It cracks you up. And then when you consider they're doing it in their second language, or as Habib explained to me one time, and I don't know if this is the same for Islam. After, I think I talked about this before, but after Habib retired, I was interviewing him one day. I can't remember what he was in town for. We were talking about something, and I remembered like the way he would always pause when he would like say something. And to me, when press conference and stuff, I always thought it was because he had become such a big star that he knew that every word that he said was going to be kind of weighed and measured. So he was thinking in his head, like, hold on, how do I want to phrase this? And I asked him if that was it, and he was like, no, brother. He was like, I think in not only Russian, but his local dialect. Like, he has, like, a local dialect that he thinks in, and then he has to convert that to Russian, and then he has to convert that to English, and then back the other way. He's like, so that's why it takes me a second. And I'm sure with Islam, it's probably the same. I mean, they grew up with each other. It's probably the same thing. That's actually, like, his third language. So to be that low-key hilarious is pretty damn funny, man, I got to admit. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it. All right, so what about the pick? What are you doing? Because I hear what everybody's saying with Jack Della Maddalena, and I believe it. But I just have I believe Islam is that damn good, to be honest with you. And even at 70, I'm still rolling with Islam here, even though I keep hearing all this doubt and these people pulling for Jack Della Maddalena.
Yeah, and I mean, and I get it, you know. But what gets me is a lot of people are like, well, we already saw this fight in a bigger version with Bilal, and I'm like, guys, they're two different fighters. Like, while they do have similar, you know, fight styles where they can be very oppressive with the way once they get a hold of him and grappling and other stuff. But I mean, Islam, we've seen that he's got knockout power. We've seen he's got power. But man, it's when I saw the face off between the two of them, I was not shocked, but you know, he looked every bit as big or bigger, you know, a little taller and more filled out than what I was seeing from Jack. So I was like, dude, okay, so maybe it's not going to be like Jack big brothering anybody, because I don't think anybody big brothers Islam.
Right.
But I don't, you know, I just don't put too much into this, oh, we've already seen this fight. So I think Islam, when it comes to just working what he can and just control people, I think it's tough for anybody. And so, you know, I think Islam's going to do it. But I mean, I think if he decides to make it a stand-up fight and like, hey, let's stand in the middle, let's see who's striking's better, which won't happen at all, then there's a better case, I think, for Jack. And yes, while he's very strong and he's able to get back up on people, we saw recently where we thought the same thing when Khamzat was fighting for the belt, you know, and his opponent had nothing for him.
Right.
You know, there was absolutely nothing that he could do. And I feel like this very easily can be one of those fights where we think that, it's going to be evenly matched on the feet. And yes, we see him get up. I think Islam, when he does what he does, man, and he does it and he's looking good and he's feeling good, which we've already seen that he looks like he's in top form. His mind is good. He's not struggling with the weight thing. I think we're going to see an even better, more dominant version. That doesn't mean he's going to go out and dominate him and just like, oh, this is whatever. But there is the potential that something could happen and that it can be as controlling. And if JDM can't get up from the ground, it could be five rounds of boring, or it could be a matter of he just eventually will get underneath that neck and it's done. So I'm leaning Islam. I know most of the staff, I think I did see some JDM picks, but I think most people are following the odds and are leaning Islam with our staff, at least.
I think so. I hope Jack makes it an incredible fight. And I'm not trying to discount Jack. Like, he's a great fighter, man. He really is. And like, this win streak he's on. And even his, like, you know, he's not a big speaker either, but this, I felt like the confidence that he had, I mean, it was cool to see. Like, he believes in himself, and you can tell, like, it's earnest, and he's well prepared, and this is going to be a hell of a fight. But yeah, you're right. People keep making that comparison to Bilal Muhammad, and I love Bilal Muhammad, but
yep.
Bilal Muhammad is not Islam Makhachev. He's just not.
No.
And I don't mean that.
Because we've seen Bilal just falter on some of those big cases and weird instances where you're just like, wow, didn't see that coming, you know, didn't see that performance. And, you know, we just haven't seen Islam have those same sort of, like, faults on a repeat sort of basis or whatever. I mean, I think we're going to see a unique version of him because of this, the whole weight thing and just not having to struggle. I mean,
Dude, those weight cuts were bad, bro. His cuts to 55 were, like, hard to watch.
Yeah,
you know?
You could see how sunken in his face was and everything. And, like, the fact that he's there giving us low-key, subtle jokes and, like, just in good form, I was like, bro, he's looking really good right now. And I waited to put my picks until after I saw people. I like to – typically now I like to do that. I like to see how hard it looks on him. And they'll either tell me, well, we're going to have some issues with people on the scales. When they look really, really good, I'm like, you shouldn't be looking this good right now, knowing your weight class, for a lot of the other fighters. But everybody looked, for the most part, everybody's dialed in. Everybody that I saw at Media Day looked in good spirits, good stuff. And when I looked at Islam, man, I was like, bro, he looks like he is ready to go and get that belt. And I think we're going to get an and new in the main event.
I do too. All right, how about the co-main event? Valentina Shevchenko, Zhang Weili, super fight. I mean, two of the best ever to do it. This is awesome to see. I'm excited for this fight as well. And I'm kind of torn on it a little bit, because here's the thing, is that Zhang Weili is the smaller fighter naturally, but she's not that much smaller, to be honest with you. You know, she's moving up in weight. Valentina Shevchenko, I've said it forever. You know, even with Amanda Nunes was at her prime, you know, to me this was 1A and 1B in terms of, you know, who's the best. Because obviously Valentina is way smaller than Amanda Nunes. And they did have head-to-head results. But Valentina is just so technically sound, man. She's so good at all aspects of the game. She's so disciplined in what she does, you know what I mean, both in training and in her fights. You know, she'll just stick to a game plan, even if it means she's got to be patient and the crowd doesn't like it. She's going to do what she needs to do to win the fight. But all that said, you can't deny that Valentina hasn't been the dominant force that she once was. You know what I mean? I know she was talking about it yesterday, right, where she's like, you know, I've been doing this for like 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, it adds up, right? She's been a martial artist her whole life. And, you know, and I mean, I still think she's one of the greats. And she's still one of the best in the game. And she's one of the best ever, no doubt. But in this one, I don't know. I think I'm leaning Zhang Weili in here. Not that Zhang Weili is, some, you know, like – a decade younger or whatever, but I don't know. I just feel like Valentina's been like a slipping. I even hate to say that. She's performing at such a. It's like if your skill set's a 99 and you're fighting at a 97, that means you slipped a little bit, right? But it's like it almost seems disrespectful to say like, bro, I'm still a 97. You know what I mean? But I feel like it is just down a little bit, and I think I might take Anu with Zhang Weili as well.
Wow. Yeah. I was torn on this one. I end up going with Shevchenko. Mm. There's something about her mindset, and I thought that last performance was really, really solid of hers, and I was like, okay, maybe we're getting that part from her. When I was thinking about, you know, Zhang Weili is so strong. She's probably the strongest strawweight that's out there, but this is not a strawweight fight.
Right.
You know, there is the size difference a little bit, but, man, she's so strong. But, man, there was just something about – I remember I think I didn't pick – Shevchenko in the last one, and I was just like, see what you get when you don't pick Shevchenko. She just shows up and makes you feel stupid for doubting that she's able to do it. And so this one was kind of a rebound from that one, where I was like, okay, normally I think I would pick Zhang Weili all day long over everybody that she goes against, but there was just on this one, I was like, man, if she can keep it standing, if Valentina can keep it standing and do the striking and keep moving, I think she's going to just – she just does such a great job of just dictating the fight and hurting her opponents. But on the flip side, Zhang Weili just makes a really strong point of just getting people and just holding them down and just beating on them. Look what she did to Suarez. And, I mean, that should be enough where I could say, bro, if she did that to Suarez, like, why are you picking against you know, yep. Wiley, because she's so badass. So I'm so on the fence, but when I finally put the picks in, I was like, I'm going to lean with the champ. I'm going to give her a chance, and because I didn't in the last one, and I was wrong. So could I be wrong in this one? Yes.
It's a great, and it could go either way.
It could go either way.
If anybody...
She's a slight favorite, too, unless the odds have changed, right?
Very, very, very slight favorite.
Just a very, very slight
change. The way I feel about this fight is that if anybody comes to you and they have a definitive feel on who's going to win this fight, they're lying to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, these two athletes are so good that I think it could... I mean, you're talking about... Just, yep. You know, the razor's edge that separates the two of them, man. So I'm excited for that one. We'll get on the rest of the main card real quick. Sean Brady versus Michael Morales. Obviously, my CFFC bias is clear in that I will certainly be picking Sean Brady. But I'm certainly aware.
I did pick Brady, too.
Good. That's what's up. Too. I will say, dude, yeah.
Even though that's a tough pick.
I saw him last week. It is a tough pick. Michael Morales is so good. I saw Sean Brady training a little bit in Philly. Oh, my gosh. Sean Brady looked good, but Michael Morales is tough. But this is just what I'm saying. I saw some people kind of questioning Sean Brady. But, again, in the same way that I was – to me, this is exactly what we want in a fighter. For Sean Brady to be like – and he said it at the media day, right? Like, why did you take this fight? Why are you fighting down in the rankings? And he's like, look, it was either this or sit on the sideline, and I'm a fighter. And if I'm going to fight, A, that's what I do. B, it's what I love to do. Yep. So I took the fight, and I love the attitude. And him saying, you know, listen, if I think I'm as good as I think I am, I got to be able to beat everybody out here, and I'm going to face this dude anyway. Why not face him now? So to me, and again, obviously, you know, throw in my bias, my homerism for Sean Brady, who, by the way, just got added to the CFFC Hall of Fame. So he'll get his official induction in December, but he's going to be the latest member of the CFFC Hall of Fame. But, of course, I'm going to have that bias. But to me, as a fight fan, isn't that what you want to see? Guys that just say, bro, the matchup was given to me, and I know he's the younger guy. He's the up-and-coming guy. He hasn't accomplished what I've accomplished, but this is the fight, and I took it. I love that attitude, man. That's what we want.
Yep. And it's going to be fun. I mean, like, Brady's got to get the fight to the ground.
Yes.
He cannot make this a stand in the middle and trade because Morales is so fast. He's so powerful. And he's got knockout power. I mean, like, this is a scary, scary matchup. But, man, if Brady can get it on the ground, man, I am fully confident. That dude is so good. He is so freaking good with his jiu-jitsu. And it's just, if he gets you to the ground, I'm pretty confident he can get the finish. But Morales is tough, man. We haven't seen him tested against a dude like this. Like, if it gets down to the ground, I mean, this will be... If he gets past Brady and Brady gets a good chance to try to take him to the ground and we actually get to see some new wrinkles to Morales' game, kid's a stud. I mean, then the sky's the limit for him. If he can get through this test, the sky's the limit for that kid. I think he has every capability of being a future champ.
I agree.
So this is going to be that big test, but I did lean with Brady just because his jiu-jitsu is so darn good.
That's what I like to hear. Dude, I got this past week while we were in Philly, I actually got to go a couple times on the week out to Marquez MMA. I'd never been to the gym before because I always come in late, right? I always come in like before I was, you know, with the executive team. I just kind of got there at the last second, you know, just to come in and do the call and go home. So I never really spent much time hanging out in Philly. But Marquez MMA, that gym, old school Philly vibe, dude. Like, John Marquez will tell you, he's like, bro, you're in the hood right now, dude. Like, it's in like, you know, tough part of Philly. It's, you know, fourth floor walk up, you know, in this old brick building. There's no, you know, we talk about all the fancy, you know, we've been lucky enough to go see the palace that is American Top Team, you know, the amenities that they have at like Killcliffe and, you know, these, and then this is just like old school, just brick building, you know, no fancy, like the walls aren't finished out or nothing. There's some dudes just grinding in there, man. They're doing some great stuff. So it's cool to see Sean getting his last bit of training in there. So big fight for him. Carlos Prates, Leon Edwards, man. Carlos, obviously, no shortage in confidence.
Yep.
I will say one part of Carlos's interview, like, kind of, I'm like, am I thinking wrong when he's just like, Leon Edwards is one of those guys that quits, man. Just when things aren't going his way, like, you know what I mean? He just, you can tell he just quits. And I'm like, isn't Leon Edwards like most famous career moment? Like the moment that he was behind like 4-0 and like scored the come from behind knockout victory. I'm like, That's weird. So that part of the interview kind of made me laugh a little bit. But that said,
he's focusing, I guess, on the coach having to tell him to don't you give up, don't you give up. He's like, oh, obviously Leon must have been quitting, you know, but his coach convinced him to keep fighting.
That made me laugh a little bit, man. But all that said, bro, I just on paper, this seems like it's a really bad matchup for Leon Edwards, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. And I mean, I could be completely wrong, but yeah, I went Prates on this one. Yep. I think he's just so powerful, he's strong, and I know people want to just try to say Leon's in decline and he's not the same Leon, but we've seen Leon have great moments when you count him out.
Yep.
He fucking does something amazing, you know. So could this be one of those? Sure. I mean, we've seen the Fighting Nerds they're not this invincible team anymore, you know. True. They take some losses now. So, you know, the shine is rubbed off a little bit, you know, in some people's eyes, but Prates is the real deal, man. This dude is he's a lot of fun to watch, and I think this is going to be one of those ones where we're going to see some high-level striking, and this could really put him on beating a former champ is a nice feather in your cap, you know, for anybody. Yep. You know, and I think a lot of people have really high hopes for what Carlos can do, and this is, you know, same thing with like what we were talking about, you know, guys before. You get a really big challenge and you're able to get beyond that, sky's the limit. I mean, another guy that we think has future champ potential, you know, if he can keep it together, and this would be huge for him. If he get through Leon, you got to keep him on the radar. He's got such great size and such great power and speed.
That's what does it for me, right? Like the stylistic matchup, the bodies type matchup. Like it just seems like a tough matchup for Leon Edwards. It feels like it's almost like a custom made opponent for Carlos Prates. And all those things you said are true. Like Carlos said it yesterday, right? Like he talked. Obviously, everybody was asked about who gets the next welterweight title shot because there's so many big welterweight fights, and you know everybody's got their reason why. Like Sean Brady's like, I don't care. Like I just keep beating everybody, and they'll have to give it to me. But I like what Carlos said, right? Where he's just like, hey, man, like, I think I'm next because I have the style that people want to see, right? You know what I mean? Like, the people want to see what I do. And it's so true, right? His style is so fun to watch. And then you add in, you know, he's got swag, by the way, you know, and he's got a presence about him. He's got the whole smoking aspect story, which is a weird story, but it's a story, you know what I mean? At least it's because you got to stand out. You got to have a little bit of a character to you as well, right? And so he's got it all. So, yeah, I think this is a big moment for him. Could be a real breakout opportunity for him. And then I guess the last, we'll round it out. Benil Dariush, Benoit St. Denis. I'm torn on this. Which way did you go here?
I went BSD, but man, I just that last performance of his as well. Man, I think both guys. I mean, like Benil likes it when it gets to the ground. I mean, the guy is awesome on it. He likes to stand and strike. But man, I think when it comes to power, I think BSD has the edge in power.
Yes.
Maybe the overall best technician, I think, is Benil.
Yep.
But I went Benoit, but honestly, this is another one that I'm like, did I just pick wrong? Because Benil does what Benil does. And just when, you know, people want to say, oh, look at the grays in your hair, you're getting older. And he's like, that's okay. I'll still go out there and whip your ass, you know, like, and he's another guy. He's just so well-spoken, so humble, you know, another guy that's really strong in his faith and how he wants to take care of his family. I don't know how anybody could, you know, ever dislike the dude. I've never seen him, you know, talk angry shit about anybody. He's always like, he's such a great representative for the sport. And so I always feel like such a piece of poop when I pick against him. But this is a fun matchup. But I think the size of BSD, and I think with just his power, and we've seen that when he gets to the ground, he does a really good job of just damaging guys on the ground. So if he doesn't get his arm caught in something, I'm gonna give BSD the edge by some ground and pound.
I think you're spot on, and I think that is what's making me torn on this one, because if you're literally like, just like don't take the people out of it and just like make them like video game characters or something, like I'm picking Benoit St. Denis, like because of all the things you said, man, the power, he's younger, he's, you know, he's, you know, we've seen Benil get hit, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, there's all these things, But then you just think of the human being that is Beneil Dariush, who's like the nicest dude. In a sport full of really nice dudes, like he's one of the top, you know, he's like Mark Munoz-esque in the level of just like he's a cut above of being a nice dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I find
even hearing him talk about, did you catch the part where we were talking about Jim Miller and how Jim Miller wanted to go to 50, because he was trying to talk about him. He's like, come on, Jim. Can you stop?
Yeah.
You're like, whatever. And then they said, like, Jim wanted to go to 50. He's like, well, there's that. Or something like, because they were talking about whether he can overtake his win records or whatever.
So
he's
great.
Just such a nice dude, man. Yep. And he loves the sport. He loves the people in the sport. But, yeah, such a fucking killer dude, man. In terms of, if you had to pick which guy would I, you know, think I'd – I'm sure hanging out with BSD would be great. But, yeah, if there was you got a chance to eat dinner and hang out with one of these guys, who are you going to pick? Like, all day long, I'm going to take Dariush just because I think he's just one of the nicest dudes in the world,
he's
you know.
He's the best.
But, unfortunately, in the fight, you got to pick one, and I did lean Benoit Saint-Denis.
That's
I think,
it,
yeah, that size and power, man, I think. But who knows? Beneil's going to Beneil.
Yes, he is. All right, well, listen, man, I know you got stuff to do today. Press conference tonight. Hopefully it's a big energy. That is, I will say, man, you know, again, to me, like the whole Madison Square Garden experience, I mean, it is amazing. Everybody talks about it. It is the world's most famous arena, and, you know, the greats, you know, Ali was here, Tyson was here. It's cool. And I always try to tell people, like, the arena itself – I mean, it's nice. It's updated, and it's not like, I mean, I think there's nicer arenas, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's nicer buildings, especially some of these new modern $1 billion, you know, with all the amenities and all this stuff. You know, the one they just opened in Los Angeles was amazing and whatever. But there's something about the crowd. It's the crowd. It's the energy of the crowd, the energy of the people, man. And the press conferences, you know, I feel like the press conferences at Madison Square Garden are always the best, dude, because people are, like, just heckling from the crowd. Like, they're, it's just, like, the most lively crowd you'll ever get. I don't know what it is, if it's just – that's just the New Yorkers and their energy or whatever. But there's something different about them, man. And obviously the stars are out, so that brings the people out. But, yeah, I just feel like there's more – going on at those press conferences, high energy, man. I think it's a lot of fun. So I know you got to get that to get to. What else? Anything else? Anything else that the world needs to know
about
New York?
That's about it. I know I will not be. I think I'm just going to take it easy after the press conference tonight.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to go get some din. I think I had enough adult beverages last night to make it through tonight.
Are they doing the traditional? Is there a media mixer tonight or Friday? Or was that kind of the media mixer?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. I know.
Yeah. I think.
You know what?
It's true, because they do traditionally not have one.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Because the media mixer was always sponsored by ESPN, and I bet ESPN's like, oh, we're going to pay for an open bar tab for everybody on the way out the door? Like, absolutely not. Like,
I mean, the ESPN guys did show up last night, you know, there as well. Brent was there, and Charlie, and then a couple of the other guys. But I did actually talk with those guys, and they are – it's crazy. We did talk about how it's life-changing for these dudes, you know, like their life was built around going to cover these events all around the world. And by doing this full time, it wasn't like they were picking up a lot of other extra work off to the side and stuff. And so when you remove this thing, some guys are left like, well, I'm putting in resumes, I'm dropping things, I'm reaching out, trying to network. Some people have things already set to go, or they were already pretty well off and pretty established, and other things that, you know, the ESPN, you know, wasn't their only thing. But yeah, I mean, dudes are like, well, we're trying to figure out what the next step's going to be, and it's like, man.
So
it was good to see some of those guys out and talk a little bit last night. But yeah, they're very much facing an end of an era for what their life's been wrapped around.
When we see it over the years, obviously this changes. You know, we see it when we went from Spike to Fox, from Fox to ESPN, from ESPN here. It's so weird how that can change, because one day you're the dude that has the absolute most access of anybody in the because you're the broadcast partner, right? So it's like you're getting handed everything, and you're getting like whatever you need. What the headliner needs to talk to you after weigh-ins because you need it for a hit. Right this way, you know what I mean? Like, let's go. Yep. Like, here's your private booth, sir. Here's your. You guys need some camera assistance? What do you got? I mean, you got everything, and then like that. It's now you're, you know, not that you're persona non grata, but it's just like, it's we got to give that to so-and-so now. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing, man. It's a weird thing. But, you know, you use that time to build your profile, to build your relationships and all that stuff. So it's the unfortunate side of things, right? Like, I mean, that's the reality of it that people probably don't think about. But good to hear that everybody's trying.
Yeah, and I know in December when they're trying to do that last big show in Vegas, I'm sure that they'll probably do like a mixer or something like an end of the relationship sort of get together or whatever. But yeah, it is sort of bittersweet for them. But yeah, typically up here in New York, we would have went to the ESPN media mixer upstairs where it was an open bar, and
we put in some work at those sometimes.
Put more work than others, but yes, we put in some work.
Some
almost got in fights with other media members up in those things, and it was not this guy.
I totally forgot about that.
So yeah, it's probably a good thing that mixer's going away.
Oh shit, I totally forgot about that. Oh my god, good times. Hey, you know what's just funny? Made me laugh. December 6th, as you said, is kind of the big send-off, right? Like, that's the big pay-per-view, and I'm sure. What does ESPN coverage look like of December 13th, a week later at the Apex? Do you think everybody's just like, nah.
You never know. I mean, even, I think, you know, especially now, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, will they ever put a UFC highlight in their top 10 or their whatever part of their show? And I don't think they'll ever fully turn their head from MMA. I think if there's a slow night in sports and they don't have a lot of things and there is some crazy knockout of a well-named fighter, of course they're going to use it. I don't envision them closing the door on MMA coverage, but they're certainly going to they're not sending teams. They're not going to have shows curated around MMA probably.
Yep.
But in terms of like highlight stuff, I think you'll still be able to when you're watching your sports highlights. I'm sure you'll still get the possibility of seeing an MMA clip in there. It wasn't like it was always top heavy of it right now within the partnership, but I don't think it'll fully go away. But it's gonna be different.
It's gonna be different. And again, I mean, people care about the fight. I think most people listening care about the fights more than they care about the business side of things. But it is interesting from our perspective because we lived in the business side of things for a long time. Is like what is Paramount do? Like, I haven't heard much yet. Oh, I mean, we still know.
But I will tell you.
Just Paramount.
I did sort of hear
stuff?
Some little rumors.
Yep.
I did. I don't think about them actually creating stuff, but what I'm hearing through just whatever is that the money is tiered up. It starts less when it starts, so it's not like they're just spitting it out even. So the first 2 or 3 years or whatever, the money is a lot smaller than what it gets to towards the end. But a lot of people are speculating that it's written either into the contract or whatever that if they default on this, more than likely TKO and Ari would acquire either a large portion or would acquire Paramount because Ari's always wanted a production or a company or a, you know, sort of a broadcast company. So say they default on this massive $1 billion deal and now you got a guy that has talent, actors, all this other stuff, now has a publishing platform. So
that's
worst case.
Crazy.
You know, instead of just saying, like, give us all the money, even it out, whatever, whatever, let's work this thing. But if you do not make it to the end of this contract, pay this money, we get an ownership stake. That's supposedly the talk. Is that true? I'm just hearing from people a lot closer to me, and it could be just all rumor mill anyways, but it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a hell of a lot of sense.
You know, so should be interesting.
That's weird because at that point, you're almost like, what's that? Running behind on the payments? Don't worry. Take your time, buddy.
Yep.
It's okay. You know, oh, can't make
it. It's almost more beneficial in the long run. It's almost more beneficial for them in that sense because now think of the exponential stuff that they can grow off to the side with all these actors and stuff. It's just, it's bonkers. I was like, wow, why have I never thought of that? I was like, it makes so much sense.
So much sense. So much sense.
So much sense.
So it'd be interesting. Wild, man.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So this first couple years, you know, first 2-3 years or whatever, it'd be interesting to see. But I don't think, and even the people, some of the people I was talking about that are kind of more in the production side, don't envision that Paramount's going to be trying to create any shows or do any of that sort of stuff. They're just a platform that is going to be pushing out and trying to increase its viewership. It's all about the viewership. the tapping into the UFC was hoping that they get more subscribers, and they want that subscriber base to continue to constantly grow and grow and grow. And as that reach grows, they're hoping that the new subscribers and stuff will benefit them and get that money back. But bro, with the amount that they're paying, we've said it before how many subscribers they would need. It doesn't seem possible. So they got to either then be trying to get extra broadcast deals off to the side to recoup that, you know, like Paramount reaching out to these other markets and other places with whatever they access. I know we talked to the UFC, but the UFC is so smart about that. When the UFC is usually talking about, oh, we're working on broadcast deals in other countries, it's outside of like the Paramount thing. So it's like, well, if they're going outside and reaching them, who's Paramount going to reach out to and try to get some stuff back? You know, like
crazy, man.
It's crazy. It just literally, you just feel like the day is coming where TKO is going to take over Paramount. You know, like, I'm just like, I don't see how they're going to get their money back, you know.
Dude,
but
that would be nuts. If so, that's a fucking brilliant business play.
It's some genius shit, dude.
It really is incredible. That's nuts, man. All right, well. Damn, I could talk for another hour on that. That's crazy, man. But I know. Like I said, people care about the fights.
Until you mentioned it or something, I literally forgot about it. I was like, I just had this conversation about this yesterday. I was like,
yeah, they may have been a few whiskeys deep at that point. Maybe that's why it wasn't top of mind.
Yeah.
But it is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. All right, listen, now you got to go, so I'll let you run. Hope everybody enjoys the fight. Should be a fantastic night on pay-per-view. Obviously, one of the last pay-per-views you're going to have to pay for here in the United States, but I think it's probably worth your $75. So enjoy it, and we will get together here in Las Vegas next week. Thanks for listening.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.